Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to the first team. I'm Joe DeLeon. Joining me as always, my good friend and NFL draft analyst, Ryan Roberts. I'm back from the dead. We have not done a show as frequently as I would have liked post-combine, but I caught whatever was going around in Indianapolis. Somehow Ryan remains unscathed, as well as Keegan Renault from RPM. Shout out Keegan for everything this weekend. Somehow he didn't get sick either, yet I was in close quarters with everybody. Here we are, Ryan. I got to meet you in person the first time. I guess it must be I'm allergic to you or something. Maybe that's what this is.
I don't know about this. I don't know about the sickness at all, Joe, because I wouldn't say it's going around because you're literally the only idiot that got it. So I don't know.
There was somebody that we were with on earlier in the week that you guys said had also gotten sick that was not coming out.
Yes, that is true. Okay, that's a solid point.
And I was thinking back to it, and on Friday when we were talking to him, or Thursday when we were talking to him, he was very close to me. Like, I noticed when he was talking to me, I was like, he's standing a little close to me, but I guess it's fine. But now it's not fine because he is definitely the person who got me sick.
Well, Joe, outside of Sunday, though, I mean, you had a pretty good time for your first combine, did you not?
It would have been nicer
a lot of late
if
nights,
I was
weird conversations, yeah. But it was good, man. It was good.
Geez, the NFL web horrible for turning off when you're trying to pull up the data. I was trying to pull up numbers for somebody so that when we started talking about them today, we are going to be breaking down and sharing two guys each that we think just overall are going to gain the most momentum post the NFL combine based on their testing, just based on the whole body of work during the week. BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts. Your first guy that you think is going to be a big riser?
I think the easiest one's probably Xavier Worthy, right? I mean, Xavier Worthy, I think, was, at least from the media side, was considered a pretty much consensus second rounder, most likely, right? Like day two type of football player, because if you watch Xavier Worthy, who weighed in sub 6 foot, 165 pounds, he is incredibly dynamic as far as being a explosive athlete, can change direction really well as well. But he's small, obviously, has zero play strength, and he struggles to consistently catch the ball. So when you're on the film, you're just like, okay, there's a role for that in the offense, particularly as a yak weapon, a guy that you get the football in the hands, whether it's as a screen player, on reverses, you know, quick hitters, crossers, like those types of things. Let him work in space. But obviously there are deficiencies to his game that say maybe not a first rounder. Well, Joe, I think that the media side is going to really go over the top with Xavier Worthy and mock drafts from here on out for Worthy. But I will say this, is that although people are going to be like, oh, the NFL doesn't think the same as the media, you might be right. But one trap that the NFL always falls into as well is falling for speed and prioritizing speed at the wide receiver position. So I do believe that Xavier Worthy has the inside track to being a first round pick. Should he be drafted there? Not based upon his film, but the 4.21 40-yard dash time that he ran in Indianapolis, someone is going to take the plunge in the first round.
Yeah, and to kind of hit on what we've said on the show and a lot of other people say that are within covering the draft, or scouts for that matter, typically say that there's not as much of an overreaction to testing as the general public thinks that there is. I think a lot of times the general public is just getting acclimated to the draft class when they watch the combine, and they immediately think the guys that test the best are going to be first rounders. That is typically not true, but there are usually a couple position groups that, and a couple guys that do certain things that will certainly give them that big boost. And I think that Xavier Worthy is definitely one of those guys who decided not to do any of the receiving drills for good reason, because he probably would have looked very erratic, because his body control at times can be very inconsistent. His hands are very, very inconsistent. His route running is not particularly consistent. So if he looked erratic after running a 4.21 and breaking the record, I think reality might have came crashing down a little bit on him. And it happened with Troy Franklin. Great example where Troy Franklin runs a great time. He goes out there and he has the worst gauntlet drill out of anybody. And while the gauntlet drill is not reflective of anything that happens in a game, when you do it that poorly, it's pretty noticeable. But as we say a lot of times, and I think it's a really good example, is if we look at guys like Jameson Williams, Henry Ruggs, John Ross, who have previously put up some ridiculous testing times, those guys always get a bump because they have a ridiculous time. And just because Xavier Worthy is maybe outside the top 10 for most people in the receiver class, I think just because he ran that number, some team is going to say, you know what, he might be outside of our top 10, but we want somebody that can take the top off of defense.
I think the good thing for Xavier Worthy is that the bump is not going to be so high that I think he's going to be, you know, like a top 20 pick. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. I put him in my recent mock that came out. You know, it was a little bit more of a predictive nature of a mock because of, you know, just kind of some things we're hearing and some, you know, combine performances and all those things kind of intertwined together. I put him 32 to the Kansas City Chiefs, which I think would be a great destination for him, right? Like, you're not going to bring Xavier Worthy in if you're the Kansas City Chiefs or the Buffalo Bills, for that matter, to be your wide receiver one and to be the heavy volume getter. You're going to bring him in to play a specialized role and hope to develop the rest of his game. I do think that that would be a good scenario for him. So he's not going to get that John Ross bump where you're like top 10 pick John Ross and then everything comes crashing down, which would be good for Xavier Worthy. I would say, just a note, Joe, because you're right, usually the NFL doesn't overreact to testing numbers like the media. You're 100% correct on that. The one caveat, though, I would say is that that's usually in the case of, hey, an NFL team thinks Xavier Worthy's fast, so he's going to test fast, right? But it's not that Xavier Worthy tested fast. He tested faster than any wide receiver, any player in combine history. We're talking about a historical number, not a great number, not an elite number, historical. There is nobody better historically than what Xavier Worthy did in the 40. So I think that overreaction will happen on the league side because they may have been expecting him to run 4.3 flat and to be incredibly fast, but 4.21 is a completely different animal, obviously.
So the first guy that I have, another wide receiver who I, I don't think in any other or in any other year, I think we'd be freaking out over this guy, but because of Xavier Worthy, his performance gets a little bit undermined. And that being Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. He's somebody who we talked about coming into the week was going to test well. He runs a 4.33, and I wanted this to be put into perspective. Xavier Worthy at 165 pounds runs the 4.21. He is ridiculously light. I would hope that he doesn't play in the NFL at that weight. 4.33 for a guy who weighs 209 pounds, over 40 pounds heavier, almost 50 pounds heavier than him, runs not that far off in terms of their 40 time. He also has a 1.5 10-yard split, 38.5-inch vertical, 10'6" broad, 11 reps on the bench. His jumps weren't as crazy as I thought that they were maybe going to be. Yeah. But regardless, Brian Thomas Jr.'s testing is just phenomenal. I mean, I really think that this guy has just solidified himself maybe as that third receiver. Maybe that's that fourth receiver if Roma Dunze does go ahead of him. But his numbers were just ridiculous for the size profile he has.
I think the fight for wide receiver three is going to be a very vicious one in this class. I would kind of put it because I still believe that ultimately Marvin Harrison Jr. is obviously going to be wide receiver one, but I still think that Malik Nabers has the inside track to being the second guy. But most people are just kind of penciling in Roma Dunze, and I'm just like, guys, like I wouldn't go that far yet. I just wouldn't. I think before the combine, I would have safely said that Brian Thomas Jr. was going to be a top 20 pick. After he ran 4.33. I think that there's going to be some NFL teams that are going to say, if he hits, he could be the best wide receiver in this class. It's possible, right? I mean, there's obviously a wider volatility to his evaluation compared to like what Marvin Harrison Jr.'s is in that respect, right? But I do believe that as we kind of look at that next step moving forward, you can project Brian Thomas to being an absolute stud on the next level. I think he's going to go in the top 15 picks. I think he's going to fight for wide receiver three. There's a lot you can do with a nearly 6'3" player who's 209 pounds. It's running 4.33, and that showed a lot of traits in the 2023 season. I mean, this isn't just a speed vertical dude. Like, he has some ability to work in contested catch situations. He has good body control, and I think he has route running upside, although LSU didn't utilize it as much as I think they could have because he was just so good working vertically. So yeah, I'm all in on the Brian Thomas Jr. hype, man. I think he's probably a top 15 pick when all is said and done, and I would not be shocked if he's wide receiver 3. I wouldn't be shocked at all about it.
Yeah, I think that as this debate is going to kind of come together more on who is going to be that third guy taken, maybe that just slight difference in testing numbers, because Roman Dunze tested well too, that slight difference might just be enough for Brian Thomas Jr. to overtake him. I also think, though, that a lot of it is going to be just general personal preference on what these teams are looking for.
Yeah. And the cool part is that Thomas and Adunze have a lot of parallels that are similar-ish, right? Like, they are similar body types. I think, what did Rome come in at? Like 212, 213? So, like, he's relatively in the same ballpark as Brian Thomas. They're right around 6'3". They have good catch radiuses. They are vertically oriented players. So, there's a lot of parallels to compare between the two. So, I think it just really comes down to, do you want the more sure thing in Roma Dunze, or do you want maybe slightly higher ceiling in Brian Thomas Jr.? That's where the nitpicking is going to come between those two, picking between those two players. Can I give you a player, Joe, that I didn't hear a single person talk about what they did in Indianapolis, but I went back and looked at some of his numbers because I just watched him recently before the combine even started. And some of his numbers are pretty nutty. So I'm going to talk about Jared Wiley, who's the tight end out of TCU. Oh. Okay. Started his career 3 years at Texas, spent the last 2 years at TCU, 23-year-old tight end prospect, measured in over 6'6", 249 pounds, had a 33.25-inch arm as well. So he had it was over a 79-inch wingspan. So a long, athletic-looking tight end. Joe, I put a fifth-round grade on him on film before the combine started. I actually really liked Jared Wiley as a developmental pass-catching tight end, and he has effort in the run game, but it's not consistent right now because he doesn't play at the best pad level and his lower body needs to get stronger, right? But he, at the combine, and nobody talked about this because the only players I think people talked about were tight end-wise, Brock Bowers weighing in over 240 pounds and over 6'3", and they talked about Theo Johnson and Ben Sinnott. Those were the three guys that most people talked about because of how they tested. Jared Wiley, at over 6'6" and right around 250 pounds, had a 4.62 40, which included a 1.62 10-yard split. He had a 37-inch vertical, a 9'10" broad jump, and a 7.19 three-cone drill. Those numbers are fantastic. Like, those are really, really good numbers. And again, we're trying to figure out the hierarchy of the tight end class after we know Brock Bowers is tight end one. We think that tight end two is going to be Jadeveon Sanders. After that, it's a bucket of Theo Johnson, Ben Sinnott, Cade Stover, like some good football players, but like, is there a true tight end three in this class? And I'm not going to predict that Jared Wiley is tight end three in this class. I'm not going to, but I will predict that he goes earlier than people think about because he was at the East-West game. I heard he had a good performance there. He went to Senior Bowl, not East-West.
Senior Bowl. Yeah,
he got an East-West invite, and then he ended up at the Senior Bowl. So he went to the Senior Bowl, thought he had a pretty good week, showed that big frame, showed that athleticism. I think his film in 2023 is good. Like, there's a lot to build off of moving into the future. He's really only a player that had production the last 2 years at TCU. So he's a little bit of a late breakout guy, but over 500 yards this past year, had 8 touchdowns, showcased a lot of good things at TCU. And then he comes in again, 4.62 in the 40 at 6'6" plus 250 pounds, 37-inch vert, 9.10 broad, and a really good time in the three cone at 7.19 for a guy that is 250 pounds. So don't be shocked if we're talking about top 150 Jared Wiley when all is said and done. I thought that he really showcased a lot of great athletic gifts in Indianapolis.
Yeah, the tight end class is pretty garbage too. So if somebody
it's not great,
were to move, I think that there were, like, as you mentioned Sinnott, you mentioned Theo Johnson. There's a good bucket of guys that I think tested well enough that are probably going to go the earliest.
Did you see that Cade Stover ran 4.65, by the way? I did not see that. Wait,
did he really? I didn't even notice that.
He ran 4.65, had a 34.5 inch vert and like a 9.9 broad jump. I was like, oh, okay.
That's I didn't even notice good. That yeah. elite athlete, Cade Stover. But I think that a lot of the guys that were in that higher draftable, like top 10 bucket of tight ends, they all tested pretty well.
Yeah.
The only one that like tested well that we didn't really know much about was it Delp, the Washington kid?
The 231 pound H-back. Yeah. Yeah. I saw he ran.
Yeah. That fast. That kid stinks. he was like the fourth string tight end. So I don't think that we need to talk about how good he is. My second guy that I have,
yep.
I of course have to bring up my RB1, Trey Benson, 6 foot 216.
There we go.
NFL Combine, who runs a 4.39, which is a tremendous number from him. Like, I mean, I didn't even think that he had 4.3 speed on film. I thought that he was more of a 4.4 guy. At best.
You were trying to argue with me in Indianapolis that you said he was a 4.3 athlete in the summer, and that we proved that that was an incorrect statement eventually.
Debatable. 33 and a half inch vert, 10 foot 2 inch broad. I think that we've been deciding on who the top running back is. I'm not at the biggest Jonathan Brooks fan. I think that he's fine, and I think him coming off the ACL is concerning.
Yeah,
he is not going to go as high as anyone thinks. I was listening to something that somebody referenced how Todd Gurley still went early despite having a significant knee injury.
Yeah, but Todd Gurley was like a
right.
He was considered by some to be like a generational running back prospect. Yes. He still went 10th overall despite coming off of multiple injuries, yeah. Right? Like, he was a great player. Yeah.
This is my point that I think Jonathan Brooks probably going to be more of a day three pick than anything because of the injury stuff and the possibility that he's not even really going to be available when you need him to play, which is when you want a rookie running back to contribute and get on the field. But Trey Benson also was one of those guys who just looked amazing during the drills. Like, he just looked super, super fluid, super, super easy. It also helps him a little bit that Bucky Irving doesn't test well. Because I think that he was close competition with him for that number one spot. But Benson, man, I'm a really big fan of Benson. The testing numbers really kind of confirm a lot for me that I thought he was a good athlete, and kind of like we talked about here with Brian Thomas Jr.,
yep.
We knew that he could test well, but he ends up testing really freaking well, so it makes us feel pretty good about it.
I think he's RB1 in the class. I think he was RB1 in the class before the combine even kicked off. I mean, if you remember back to the summer, right, he was RB2 for me behind Rocket Sanders, and Rocket Sanders went back to school and had an injury plagued 2023 season regardless, right? So Trey's a good player, man. I think that the people's hang up with Trey is, one, the knee injury that he suffered while he was at Oregon. We have to wait to hear what the medicals are on that, because, you know, it wasn't just like an ACL tear. I'm pretty sure he tore like every ligament up in his knee. So like, that's one thing that you have to kind of watch and just make sure, just kind of check the box there. And otherwise, I think it was just that Trey was real good in 2022, right? As a complementary type of weapon in the Florida offense. I was hoping he would take like a massive step forward, like a big jump. And he was just kind of the same, I thought, right? And like, the same was still a good player. Like, don't get me wrong, but he didn't necessarily take like that next step, in my opinion. But I think in this running back class, where like, I like Audric Estime still. I still think he's a very good player. I like, you know, you mentioned Bucky Irving in a compartmentalized role. Like, there's still some running backs you like, but I think Trey Benson probably has the inside track if the injury checks out.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about Trey Benson anymore, but he's going to be a great, great player in the NFL. That's going to be it from us at Joe DeLeon at Rise and Draft. Folks, thank you everybody for tuning in. Hopefully the next time we tape, I am less sick. We can actually tape a full episode.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.